Okay. Today I want to start discussing the Zemer Tzur Mishalo Achalnu. As you can tell from just looking at it, Tzur Mishalo Achalnu is unique among all the Zmiros, I think among even all the Zmiros of Shabbos, in that it's not about Shabbos, unlike the other Zmiros. It's about a meal. You could theoretically say it during the week, but during the week, people don't have time for so many Zmiros, but it's really modeled after benching. There are four standards. So Mishalo, the first one is Zonas Olam, was like Zonas HaKol. Second one is No Delecha Al Eretz, is like No Delecha Al Eretz Al Mazon. The third is Rachim Bechasdecha, is like Rachim. And the fourth one leads into Al Kos Yayin Malei, is like Bor Pri Agafen, which nowadays we're not knowing to be so makbid on, but benching Al Kos. So that's, everyone points out that it's modeled after benching. As a matter of fact, the Minhag Agra, there's a Masorah from the Gra that he would not say this, Tzur Mishalo. As a matter of fact, I think someone told me, a generation older than me, that when he grew up in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, they're very makbid that you're not allowed to sing Tzur Mishalo like the Minhag Gra, because maybe you're Yotzei Benching. And then when you bench, it's a Bracha L'Batala. However, the Minhag Olam is not to be makbid on that, and there are two main hesberim why the Minhag Olam is not to worry about it. Really, you could think of three, but let's start with two main hesberim. One is because the Gemara says that to be Yotzei benching, you need to also mention Bris and Torah. Since this doesn't have bris and Torah, so you're not Yotzei benching, and then it's okay to still bench. But the main hesber is just that when we say Tzur Mishalo, we don't have kavanah to be Yotzei benching. And since we have, not only don't we have kavanah to be Yotzei benching, it's clear that our kavanah is not to be Yotzei benching. Like, obviously, whoever said Tzur Mishalo, their kavanah is not to be Yotzei benching, and therefore we're not Yotzei benching because we didn't have kavanah to be Yotzei benching. The historians, the scholars, suggest that Tzur Mishalo was originally written as a piyut to be said right before benching. It was like a lead into benching. Like, here's what we're going to say in benching, and let's lead into benching. So that's the basic meaning of Tzur Mishalo. Let's look a little, even if you don't have it in front of you, before we get into the words, at the rhyme scheme. The rhyme scheme of Tzur Mishalo basically is similar to almost all the Zmiros. Tzur Mishalo achalnu baruchu emunai, achalnu beosarnu kidvar Hashem, which ends with nai. And the refrain, and you can tell it's a refrain, that you're supposed to say Tzur Mishalo after each of the four standards. How can you tell? Like many of the Zmiros, the refrain has two lines, each ends with nai. Each stanza has four lines, which ends with rhyme, nai. So, Hazan Solomon Reinu of Vinu, Achalnus Nachovienu Shasinu, Alkenu Delishmo and Halo Befinu, Armanvian Nino and Kadosh Ka, Shem Hashem, nai. So, each stanza is like, A, B, and then obviously you say Tzur Mishalo again, so you get three of the rhyme, and then three Tzur Mishalo. So basically, the way it works is the refrain, Tzur Mishalo is A, then the first thing is a B, 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 A, C, 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 A, and that's way, if you say Tzur Mishalo in between each stanza, you have like three rhymes of the three lines of the stanza, and three rhymes of the last line of the stanza, plus the two lines of Tzur Mishalo. In addition, the rhyme scheme of Tzur Mishalo is a little more intricate than most of the other Zmiros, because in addition, each line is divided in half, and the first half of all the lines rhyme, and the second half of all the lines rhyme. Like, for example, Tzur Mishalo Achal Nu, Baruch Hu Emunai, Achal Nu Vehosar Nu, Kidvar Nai. So it's Achalnu goes with Osarnu, and Emunai goes with Shem Hashem, which ends with Nai. And the same with all the other Hazanis Olamo, Roenu Avinu, Achalnu Eslach Mo, Vienu Shasinu, Alkeno Delishmo, Unhalo Befinu, and then Amarnu Vianinu, and Kadosh Kashem goes with the end of the lines. Okay, we'll come back to that in the first stanza. Let's look now at the content. Now that we got the rhyme scheme down, let's look at the content of the first line. First of all, I haven't seen this in any of the Achronim, but it starts with Tzur Mishalo Achalnu. Does Mishalo Achalnu or Achalnu Mishalo seem familiar to anyone from anywhere? Anyone ever remember the phrase Achalnu Mishalo?
Yes.
Zimun, right? Baruch She'Achalnu Mishalo. I haven't seen this in any of the Achronim on Zmiros, but it seems pasha to me that Sur Mishalo is not just the refrain for this Zemer, which is Mamelon benching. Sur Mishalo also, since it comes first, represents the Zimun. Right? That's why it has Achalnu Mishalo, reminiscent of Mishalo Achalnu, which is part of Zimun. How do I know it represents the Zimun? What ultimately is the halachic function of a Zimun? The halachic function of Zimun is not to say certain words. The halachic function of Zimun is that one person tells other people, let us bench, right? That's the Ikar of Zimun, that you tell other people to bless Hashem with you, and then they join you in blessing Hashem. What is the what do we open? Tzur Mishalo, Tzur Mishalo Achalnu. Baruchu Emunai, I tell you, right? Baruchu, I'm telling you, bless Hashem. That's like Baruch Hashem Amvorach, or like Nivarech Elokeinu She'achalnu Mishalo, or Rabosai Nivarech. Right? Clearly, the first line, which has a language reminiscent of the Zimun, Achalnu Mishalo, and has a command Baruch, where you're telling other people to bless Hashem, unlike the rest of the Piyut, just says, we're going to bless Hashem. But I'm telling other people to bless Hashem. Why am I telling other people to bless Hashem in the first line? Obviously, because it's supposed to stand for the Zimun, which is the precursor to benching. You tell other people to bench with you. And that's what I think, I haven't seen this in the Achronim, but it's pretty clear once you pointed out, that the function of this first line is to represent Zimun. Now, what does it actually say? Tzur, we start with the word Tzur. This is interesting because one of the unique things about Tzur Mishalo is that unlike all the other piyutim, we don't know who wrote it. Nobody knows who wrote Tzur Mishalo. It's a very old piyut, and nobody knows who wrote it. One of the reasons nobody knows who wrote it is because usually the paitanim would put their names in the acrostic, the first letter of each stanza. And over here, doesn't spell anything. Sadi and then Hey, Beis, Reish, Yud. He didn't put his name in it. So since he didn't put his name in it, he succeeded in his attempt at another. And we don't know who wrote it. But one thing is clear. The beginning of each stanza is not in order to spell something out with a letter. It's just whatever word he thought was most appropriate. So why did he start with Tzur? He just thought Tzur was the most appropriate thing to start with. So it's interesting why he davka names, he doesn't have to start with Tzadi. It's not like he's trying to spell out a name. Why does he davka call Hashem a Tzur? Tzur means Hashem, obviously, the rock, right? Tzur Yisrael, like we say in davening. Why does he davka call Hashem a Tzur? Tzur is a rock. Is not 100% clear. Maybe I'll make another at the end of the first stanza, but just perhaps two explanations. Number one, a rock represents, you know, like, I know as I was growing up, they had a Prudential Insurance Company. It was a rock. What does that mean? They're going to be there forever. You can always count on them. So number one, a rock means you can always count on Hashem, like he's there forever. Not just this meal, but we have confidence in him long term. But it could be that another level of Amkus in why Hashem is called a Tzur is because in Chumash Shmos, a Tzur is a rock. Now, you can't get water from a stone. Everyone knows. You can't get water from a stone. But in Parsha Shavua, right? Moshe did get water from a stone, and that's a very big deal. In the Halal we talk about Hahofchi Hatzur Lomaino Mayim, meaning something which is so tough, which is not supposed to have, it's supposed to be too tough to have sustenance in it. And nonetheless, miraculously, we get some sustenance out of something which is too tough. Like a rock is too tough and powerful and eternal to actually like give us things. But nonetheless, miraculously, the water comes out of the rock, and maybe that's sort of the amkus. Again, the pashup shot is tzur, is just that Hashem's there forever. We can always count on Him. He's always there, day in, day out. He's there for us. But perhaps the drash, the level of amkus in tzur, is that tzur mishalo achalnu. We ate that which is of or from a rock, right? Hashem is tzur mishalo achalnu that we ate from Him. You can't eat things from a rock. A rock doesn't give you anything to eat. Yet we know that's not so pashut, because miraculously, when it comes to the relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael, it does work. What? Umitzur dvash aspieka. Great example, right? We say in the Shir Shalom, not umitzur dvash aspieka, but umitzur dvash aspieka. Hashem gives us, satiates us with honey from a rock. Again, what does it mean? There, it probably doesn't mean literally, but that's okay. This is figurative also. It means that from some place where you don't expect to get, you know, from a tzur, even from nowhere, Hashem gives us a dvash. So maybe here also, if the tzur is Hashem, you know, beremez, it's referring to a basic philosophical problem, which is that God is transcendent and beyond and greater than worrying about whether Reuven and Shimon and Levi have pancakes to eat for breakfast this morning, right? Meaning you ask Aristotle. And God is so great that how could he possibly care whether you have pancakes to eat this morning or not? And to a certain extent, that's true. But nonetheless, we believe that even paradoxically, God is so great and he's beyond everything. But nonetheless, he concerns himself with nosen lechem chol basar, with being zan mikarni ve'emen ve'ad beitzekinim, from the greatest to smallest of the creatures. And maybe that's part of the tzur mishalo achalnu. Again, not just pshat tzur, he's always there for us, he's there forever, but tzur, he is something which really should be too eternal and great to worry about what I ate for dinner tonight. But nonetheless, that's part of Hashem's uniqueness, and that's part of Hashem's paradoxical infinite chesed, that he really should be beyond this, and really shouldn't be able to get sustenance out of a tzur, but nonetheless, the midah in which he interacts with the world, and we're extra appreciative of the fact that God, who should be beyond this, nonetheless, is osek, busies himself with giving us our bread day in and day out. So that's tzur mishalo achalnu, the rock from whose we have eaten. We've eaten his food. Baruch emunai, here's my call out to the other people, Reminis of Zimon, you bless. Who are you? Who should bless? I'm talking to all the people at the table. Emunai. I'm calling people at the table Emunai. What does it mean I'm calling them Emunai? So here it's not 100% clear what the root word of Emunai is. The one pshat is, perhaps the simplest pshat is, like we say, it's a phrase from Sefer Shmuel, Shlomei Emunei Yisrael. I've seen that phrase used nowadays also. Emunai meaning the believers, right? Emunai meaning really ma'aminai, my colleagues, my compatriots who believe. So emunai means all those who believe in God, like me, should bless Hashem, who from whom we have eaten, because obviously I'm only talking to those people who believe in Hashem. And that's emunai. However, it could be there's also a second layer of meaning here, and that's, you know, usually, like, if you have second layers of meaning, that's often like made up drash. But in poetry, often multiple layers of meaning is part of the amkus of how to write poetry. So emunai on one level means believers, even though technically it should be ma'aminai. But okay, the Seder, we could say emunai to mean believers. However, another lashon of emunai in Tanakh is ha'emunim alei tola in Megillas Eicha. Emunim are those who are raised, right? Omein is a nurse. Omein or Omenet is a nursemaid. Vahi Omein es Hadassah, we're familiar with, from Megillas Esther, means he raised her, right? So an Omein is someone, even nowadays, a Mishpacha Omenet is like a foster family, someone who raises a kid, right? Omein is to raise a kid, to take care of a kid, and an emun is a kid who is taken care of. That's what it says in Eicha, ha'emunim alei tola, those kids who were raised with fancy clothing. Now, okay, then it's the bad part of Eicha. So emunai is those who were taken care of like kids, those who were nurtured, basically, we would say. And Omein is a nurturer. Emunai is those who are nurtured. So here I'm saying emunai, on the one hand I'm talking to people, one level of meaning is those who believe. Let's be mechazik in our belief that we didn't just eat stam, but everything we eat came from Hashem. On the other hand, I'm talking to people, emunai, those who are nurtured. Nurtured by whom? Obviously by Hashem, right? And it's being masker again, the chesed of Hashem, that Hashem is like a nurturer to us. Hashem is omein. Hashem is like raising us and caring about us, like a father or like a nurse cares about little kids, so that we feel enveloped by Hashem's chesed, like we're really nurtured, and Hashem really loves us and takes care of us. Savanu vehotarnu, the end of this line. Savanu vehotarnu, we have been satisfied. So that's clearly why we have to say savanu, because we have achalnu mishalo, baruchu, and the pasuk says v'achaltu v'zavata uveirachta, right? The pasuk of benching is v'chalta v'zavata uverachta. We ate, we were satisfied, so we bless. So we're saying we ate and bless. Obviously, we're also adding that we were satisfied because, okay, midaraisi, only chayiv to bless, to say birkas amazon, to bench, we paskin, if you were satisfied. So we're saying, not only did we eat, but we're satisfied, just like it says in the Torah, v'chalta v'zavata, and we can be rachta. We even add hosarnu. Hosarnu means not only did we eat and satisfied, we have left over. This probably is working off the pasuk in Vatochal, Vatisba, Vatotar. Right? She ate, was satisfied, and even had leftover. That pasuk is in Megillas Rus, right? By talking about when Rus is at the Goren, and she gets the barley from Boaz. But these things go together. Meaning the highest madriga is Achila. Achila, you don't die if you eat. Then to really bless Hashem, Achila Sviya. That's because it wasn't Doraisa. The highest madriga is Achila Sviya Vehoser. To not only have enough to be full, but to have leftover, that's the highest madriga of Chesed. And that we see from the book of Chesed, Megillas Rus. The highest madriga of Chesed is Vatochal Vatzva Vatoser. To even give someone enough, they have left over. Saying Hashem not only gave us all what we need, not only gave us enough to be full, even we have left over. Kidvar Hashem, the end Kidvar Hashem is also fascinating. It's not so clear on what Kidvar Hashem means. I think this also purposefully, I don't think I'm darshaning. I think purposefully it has two layers of meaning. What is Kidvar Hashem? What is that modifying? So, on the one hand, you could say, Barhu emunai kidvar Hashem, right? It doesn't have to be modifying the previous word. It could be going back to the previous phrase. Barhu emunai kidvar Hashem. I'm telling everyone, bless Hashem, say benching. Let's thank Hashem. Why should we thank Hashem? Kidvar Hashem, like it says in the Chumash, v'chazu zavata. It says in the Chumash, when you even satisfy, you bless Hashem. So I'm telling you, let's bless Hashem like it says in the Chumash. So Kedvar Hashem could be referring to the mitzvah of Birkas Hamazon. I think that's what most Achronim say, but I haven't counted, but I think is what most Achronim say. But another layer of meaning is that, no, it's not going back on Baruch Emunai. It's going on Savanu Ve'osarnu Kedvar Hashem. We have received everything, we have eaten, and we have been satisfied, and we have left over. Everything we got was Kedvar Hashem. Then working off the pasuk, ki lo alechem ador yichyeh adam, ki al kol motzafi Hashem yichyeh adam. Right, it says in Parshas Ekev, I believe. that everything we get, ki al kol motzafi Hashem, comes with the word of Hashem, meaning the whole world comes bidvar Hashem. Everything that happens to us is bidvar Hashem, is a gzeira milamala. So every achal v'savan v'osarnu, or Kidvar Hashem, meaning not just has everything we eat come from Hashem, right? Not just everything we eat comes from Hashem, but it's Dvar Hashem. It's like the whole world belongs to Hashem. And like, you know, then we eat of it. But no, it's Dvar Hashem, Hashem's commandment. Hashem specifically created the world and decreed that we should get food to eat. Perhaps even Bahashgacha Pratit, everything came into being through Dvar Hashem, through Hashem's word, and it's Hashem's command to the world that it give us food to eat. So Kedvar Hashem can be taken in two ways. Either we have to bench, because Hashem told us to, it's a mitzvah. It's not just our nice feeling to bench, but we want to be making the mitzvah of blessing Hashem. But another level of Kedvar Hashem is that everything in the world comes to Dvar Hashem, and whatever we have comes to us, Bidvar Hashem, that Hashem specifically decided and commanded and decreed that we should have what we have, and that just emphasizes the theme of perhaps Hashgacha Pratis, and appreciating that everything we have comes through a specific command of Hashem. Okay, there's more to the, that's just the stanza and the introduction, although that's, you know, I think most of the Amkus is packed into there. There's also another four stanzas, but maybe we'll pick up next week, Amir Tzashem, with the first couple of stanzas of Tzur Mishalo. And then we'll also, when we get back next week to the first stanza, we'll even see perhaps another layer of meaning in why the author started with the word Tzur. But we'll have to leave that for next week.